Good morning and welcome to Bold River Baptist Church. We're excited that you're joining us this morning. We would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Well, good morning. Well, after a time change and then a week off of school and livestock show and rodeo, how many of y'all this morning just feel like there's nothing left in the tank this morning? You know, it is hard after our schedule gets broken, our pattern gets broken, to really feel like things are going well. And we get on spring break, and if you went on vacation or if you were at the livestock show, you don't even eat well. Like, everything just goes, it just goes away, all the norm. And if you know what I'm talking about, I mean, you walk through the livestock show and you got fried everything. That's all there is. And whenever you finally find it, you have to break the bank to get you some. And then you realize that it's just a Frito pie. It's not even real. You know, it's not anything special. But we tend to get kind of worn out with life, especially around this time. And then teachers, I know you're about to hit the moment that you're just like, okay, here we go. We got from now to the end of the school year. And it's that trek. It's that long haul that you've got to make from here on out. And whenever we think about summer coming, there's a lot of us going, oh my goodness, summer's already almost on us, and that destroys our schedule. Everything changes. You know what? Whenever we think like that, we tend to weigh ourselves down because we are not looking at what we've been gifted with, what the blessings are. Each night we go home and we lay our heads on a bed that's comfortable. We have everything that we need, even when we're the most tired, and even when we don't know what's going on, God is still blessing us. And that's an incredible thought process because many times we get weighed down in life. And there are so many things happening. If I just started across the room and we started giving just our version of life right at this moment, not life, because as we know, things come and go for seasons. But if we were to just go from left to right, or your right, my left, and just start voicing what season of life, there would be so many stories right now about what people are going through and what you're struggling with. And it doesn't matter if you're a kindergartner or if you're all the way up to where you're about to go to kindergarten in heaven. It's all the same. We all have a struggle. And so when we get to these moments where we're physically tired, whenever we don't know what's about to happen, we have to relax on the promises of God. And if you'll turn to Acts chapter 2, I want to talk about the moment that the promise came true this morning. The moment whenever they realized this is what we've been waiting for. And remember, we've been talking through Acts chapter 1. Jesus has ascended, and in order to thrive, they had to be focused. They had to be going in the same direction. This morning, we're going to be talking about being filled, being filled. So this morning, if you will stand with me as we read from Acts chapter 2, as we read from God's Word, we're going to read the first 13 verses, and hopefully we'll get somewhere close to through 13, but we might not this morning. So let's read together Acts chapter 2, and I read from the ESV. Here's how it reads. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other language as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what has done this? And others mocking said, they were filled with new wine. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have given us a promise. And when you made that promise, that you did not hold back, but whenever you ascended to your throne, Jesus, that you sent the Comforter. You sent the one to give us direction. You sent us power. And Father, I pray this morning that we wouldn't be just satisfied with seeing your hand, but we would want to be used by your hand. Lord, we pray all these things in your holy Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As a teenager, one of my favorite shows coming up in the mid-90s was with Tim Allen, and many of you will probably remember a show called Home Improvement, commonly known at our house as Tool Time, because that was his show on the show. And if you're familiar with it, Tim was a guy who was just a man's man. He always was building like the man's kitchen, the man's bathroom, all these things on his show, but the big line that he had was more power. And he would grunt, you know, after that, more power, more power, more power. Well, whenever we get to stages in life, there's a lot of times that we look at God and we just want to say, God, we just need more power. And I want to tell you something. We have gotten to a place in the American church where we look everywhere else besides God and His Spirit to look for power. And let me explain this. We look at political parties. If we could just get this, it's going to change everything for our country, and they'll start making the decisions that we need to be made so it'll change this country. Has it changed our country? No, because the plans of men are plans of men. It never changes. Whether they are one of the best men we've ever met or ladies we've ever met and they're in an office, it doesn't matter if they're the worst. One of the things we have to understand is that Jesus Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit is the only thing that alters life's course. Because at the end of the day, if you're not seeking number one up there, you're seeking number one down here, which is ourselves. And so whenever we look at political systems, we look at if we can just get the right place, then God will be able to use this country. That's a lie. We look at, and I'm not knocking groups that we go to and things like that, but there's a lot of things that we look to. We look to Bible studies where we talk about how we feel. And we want to nurture our feelings more than we want to nurture our soul with God. We want to talk about, well, it makes me feel this way. We know it. Feelings are real because we feel them and it affects who we are. But at the end of the day, feelings come and go, but God remains the same. And we have to understand that it's not about how we feel at the moment. Then we also look to preachers who are not preaching the gospel because they tickle our ears. And sometimes it's nice to hear something that really just lifts us up to a place to where, you know what, it's just great that I am who I am and God just loves me for who I am. And here's one thing I know. God loves me while I was yet a sinner, but whenever he called me unto him through his son, he said, and now go be like me. And so I have to be like Jesus. And that's what he's called me to. But we're seeking power and just saying, hey, if I just stay who I am, God's satisfied. And that's farthest from what the Bible says. We have to understand that we search for power in all the wrong places. Many of us search for power through some kind of mechanism that will give us some sense of relief. I don't know if you saw this week, J.D. Greer, who is a pastor in North Carolina, said alcohol gives you hope by making you forget, but the Holy Spirit gives you hope by making you remember. That's what the Holy Spirit's about. It's about showing you who God is, what He's done, what Jesus did for you. And will you remember the power that He has given us? You tap into power that is not of this earth. It's better than the most refreshing drink. It soothes better than the best back massage that your wife or husband can give you. It is the greatest feeling ever whenever you finally say, God, I give up and I want your power. Now, I think that we have to talk about this power because I think that many times we have misconceptions about the power of the Holy Spirit. Many people say, well, whenever you get saved, you just have the power. Remember, there are many times, and we will look just at a couple of verses. If you want to turn to them, you can. But if you go to Ephesians, I referenced this on my very first Sunday here. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul is talking to believers, not people who are lost. He's talking to believers. But he says this, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you heard the message and you believed in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You were sealed. At that moment, your destination went from being hotel vacancy in hell to hotel vacancy in heaven. And there's no more vacancy for your name. Your name went from that reservation to this reservation. And it's all through Jesus Christ. But if you go just a little bit further, he's talking to the exact same believers. And he's talking to them about new life and what it means to be saved. And he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of freedom. Let all bitterness and all wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Now, if he's having to tell believers how they should act, it kind of goes against, well, if they're filled with the Holy Spirit, why are they acting like, why is he having to voice that? Now, I don't know about you, but there's many days that I know that my destination when I leave this planet is heaven. But the way that I'm feeling and the way things are going and the way that I want to act does not say I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody identify with that? I mean, we all better identify with that, because the reason why this world ain't being rocked on its from its head to its toes is because Christians are sealed by the Spirit, but many of us don't really care about being filled with the Spirit. You say, well, ain't I filled whenever? Yes, you received the Holy Spirit, but it talks about Stephen whenever he was a young man filled with the Holy Spirit. But then when he had to give his sermon, it says, and the Spirit filled him. There is an action point there. There's this moment where he said, God, I am your vessel. I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do. We look at Moses as he was being called, I am your vessel, I will do. And even though he complained about it, he gave his life over to, I will do exactly as you say. Now, before you think I'm preaching heresy, I'm not. We have to understand that being connected to the power is the key to being filled. Just like if you have a drill and you put it to a screw and you don't have it plugged in, the Christian is the same way. It's worthless, and you can do everything you want to do with that drill. You can sit there and turn it by hand, and it's still not going to do what you want it to do. But the moment you plug into the power and you pull that trigger and you let that outside source take control, you will run screws in, you won't get tired, everything will happen the way it's supposed to, unless you're on first-time flippers and then you just don't know anything about using a tool. They're always like, maybe we should turn a breaker off. And they always put, yes, good idea, up in the thing. We're always like, yes, it would be a great idea. But if we're not tapped into the source, we are sealed. But heaven knows we're not filled. Because when we're filled, things are going to happen. Look at what happens to these people. They're in the room. Jesus has ascended, and they're just waiting. And there's a visual concept here and a sound that happens. And there are people who believe that if the Holy Spirit comes to fill you, that you're going to see something, you're going to hear something based on this passage. Well, I would choose to say this, because it's never mentioned again that this happens like this. Like whenever Saul, he's confronted by Jesus, there's no crazy thing that happens where he's like, oh, look at this fire and all stuff. He sees Jesus and he hears his voice. But then as he preaches, and it says that they gave their hearts to Christ and they became followers as Paul would preach, that never happens again. And so right here in the moment with Paul, Saul, is all these instances where God had to display who he was. Because they're waiting on something they know nothing about. They're waiting to be filled with the Spirit that they don't know when it's coming. They don't know how it's coming. And so it says that there was like a mighty wind. Now, it's not that they were sitting in there and all of a sudden there was a tornado and a hurricane in the room. There was just a sound of a mighty wind in the room. They were sitting there. There was this sound. Now, that's not uncommon. If you think about what Jesus teaches about the Spirit in John 3, as he's talking to Nicodemus and he's trying to convert Nicodemus, and we get to the passage of John 3:16 where he says, you know, for God so loved the world. Right before that,
Nicodemus is asking questions, and he's asking questions about the Spirit because he knew that people had been used by the Spirit. He knew all the prophets, and he's beginning to talk to them, but Jesus says this, "Do not marvel at what I said to you, that you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sounds, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So this wind was not something that was just, oh, what's going on? They associated the teachings of Jesus in wind with the Spirit. So all of a sudden they get confirmation that way. And then there's this tongue of fire that appears, and it says that it divided. So it's almost as if this one fire comes into the room, and it's hovering in the room, and then it splits up, and it rests on each one of them. Well, fire is not untypical. It's something that they have seen since the beginning of time. And when you think of Moses, where was the Spirit of God when he was called into the ministry to go get God's people? In the burning bush. A bush that was burning but was not being burned up. And then whenever God's presence was with them in the wilderness, at the beginning it was a pillar of fire that separated them from Pharaoh's armies and keeping the Israelites safe. And then whenever it would get dark, there was a pillar of cloud by day, but at night there was a pillar of fire. Whenever they would get to Mount Sinai, there was thunder and lightning and the smell of burning sulfur. It was the power of God. It was God's Spirit resting somewhere. Because that's what was associated. So these two things that sometimes people say, well, I didn't feel a rushing wind or I didn't see fire, those aren't the case for Christians. This is how God chose to display to the first Christians, you are receiving my promise. And you know what's great about this? Is that ever since that time, whenever someone believes in the name of Jesus Christ, they automatically get the Holy Spirit. There's no question. There's a moment in life that if you give your life to Christ, that your eyes view the world different the moment that you make that decision. That you are called out of the sin and you say, I have to be like Christ. I need to show love to everybody. I need to be someone who's going to display Christ to people. I need to lay myself down to be filled with Him. So they have this experience all together. But there's things that happen. It says that they went out. And as they're going out, they're telling the truth about the gospel. They are proclaiming Christ. They are telling everyone they see what God has done. And it says that each one of them were hearing in their own language. Now, a lot of people say, well, they were speaking in tongues. Well, these were known languages. It gave us a whole list. If you read that whole list, gave us everyone that he could think of. You know, Luke, I wouldn't say he's exaggeration, but he says that there were devout men from every nation under heaven. We don't know if there were people from China and Japan and things like that there, but he's saying there are so many different languages being spoken. It was like somebody walking out of a building in downtown Houston or at the medical center and being able to speak and everybody around them hearing it in their own language. It's a miracle. It's a miracle right here. This can't be explained by just, oh, well, God, you know, God just decided he would use certain individuals. No, it says that they were all Galileans. They were ordinary people. You know what makes me happy about that? Is that I'm an ordinary person. I'm an ordinary Texan. I'm from Orange, Texas. We live down in the swamp. We actually live down by the river. I mean, if you want to name it, that's how it is. My dad's a plumber. I mean, I'm an ordinary person, and all of us in this room, we're ordinary people, but God wants to use us. And whenever we're filled with the Spirit and we allow Him to be used in us, He is going to use us in the same way. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, if we have stood on the Word and we have said we believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe in our heart that He is Lord and was raised from the dead, here's the question, how many people are we telling about Christ? Because that's the first marker they have. The first marker isn't that they're talking in different languages, is that they're proclaiming the works of God. Their very first action. So, church, what are we doing? Are we talking about the goodness of God at all times, or are we complaining about the things we can't do because somehow we feel like somebody's going to look down on us? Are we more upset about movies that are being ridiculed or in controversy than we are about what God says in His Word? Are we more upset by the things that people
throw at us and they insult us if we just tell them. This isn't new. At the very end of the text, it says that people were mocking them. And when you stand up for Jesus and you start proclaiming his name, if you're preaching the gospel, guess what? There are going to be people that think that you're crazy. They will. Jesus even says that when they hate you, remember this, they hated me first. People thought that these men were drunk. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Michael Jr. Anybody ever heard of Michael Jr., Christian comedian? Michael Jr.'s great. If you ever get a chance, look up some YouTube videos. But he has this clip where he says, have you ever met somebody that was oversaved? And you're going to ring with this because I grew up in an Assembly God school, okay? And so there was this one teacher there, and she was great. And whenever he started doing this bit, I was like, oh, that's her. And I'm going to say her name because some of you are from the Orange area, and I don't want anybody to get upset. But like you would walk through school, and here's one of his illustrations for his bit. Is he says, you know, somebody would be walking through, and they say, man, I lost my car keys. And they'd go, all you need is the keys to the kingdom. And he's like, no, actually, I need the keys to the Civic. That's what I need right now, you know, because I got to go home. And then he says, you know, I'm lost. Well, you can be found, you know. And that's just those people that every moment they get a chance, they're just pouring out scripture, and they look like they're crazy. But I want to ask you something. When was the last time somebody said, hey, this Jesus person you're talking about, it's really bothering me because it's making you crazy? We think that that's an offensive statement. You know what? I hope that that's the question somebody asks me every day. That should be what we're striving for. And not saying you need to walk around telling people they just need the keys to the kingdom and you can be found. But the truth is that they are lost and they need to be found. That Jesus gave us the Spirit to be proclaimers of the gospel. Not to be people who walk beside somebody and say, it's okay, this will pass. And when you have a question, just come to me. That's not what God teaches. It says that the moment they were filled, they went out and they started sharing the gospel, God's works, with everyone. Man, that was a cut to me. That hurts that that's the first thing that they do. And so many times somebody says, hey, Brother West, can I come in and talk to you about this problem? Well, yeah, well, let's sit down and let's talk about it and let's pray about it. You know, it really convicted me years ago when I read this statement. It convicted me again. How many of those discussions am I opening up with, hey, before we get going, before we start tackling this small problem, that's just a symptom. What you're dealing with and what I deal with on a daily basis is just a symptom of the disease that we have, which is the disease of self, of flesh, of sin. And where we start in our conversations, it says that they were filled and they were speaking and they were giving testimony that the Spirit gave them. And they were proclaiming what God had done. I'm telling you, church, Mont Bellevue is not going to stop growing. 146 is going to be filled all the way up to 90. The new loop's going to come through. There's going to be people. And if our first conversation is everything but the gospel, we will see Mont Bellevue grow and God's work not grow. And you say, well, God's unstoppable. He is unstoppable. But he's made us his agents on earth. One of the greatest blessings we have is to be a part of his plan. And if we're not diving in and saying, we want to be filled with your Spirit and go out and tell people, we are hindering the work of the gospel. We are hindering what God wants to do in this area. And I never want it to be said of me, of you, of any believer, I don't want it to be said of Old River, that they didn't make a difference. One of the questions that one of my friends who works with churches all over the state, he always asks them this one question. He says, if your church closed its doors today, would the community know? Would it make a difference in the community? And he says, and I'm not talking about for handing out food to the needy. We need to do that. The Bible says the poor will always be with you. To give and look after the poor and the orphan and the widow. He wasn't talking about, do you offer all these programs for kids to come in? What he was saying is, are we a light in our community where people say they preach a man named Jesus? In church, that's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to do. And there are many of you in this room that I know that you are seeking out times
But there are times when we don't feel like we're filled. So what do we do about those moments? Well, let's think about that for just a moment. We've got to be done. And we're going to have to get to the rest of this next week. But when we begin to feel like we're not tapped in the power, we begin to seek info from everywhere else. And again, you will hear me say this over and over. If you are looking to be filled with the Spirit, you got to fill yourself with the Spirit's message. And it only comes from one place. It doesn't come from your favorite radio broadcast. It doesn't come from your favorite preacher. And there's some great preachers. It comes from reading your Bible. It comes from having a copy of the Bible. Now, hear me when I say this. I'm not saying you have to have a print leather bound. Some of my greatest friends use only their computer because they can look up words immediately. They can dig deep. They go deep in Scripture. And they can highlight, make notes. Anytime they pull it up, they hit print. All their notes show up. I'm not saying what form of the Bible you have, but there is something about you getting alone with God in your own Bible that changes you. And you can't replace that because this is God's literal words talking to you. And when he tells us that he's given us a spirit to conquer what the world throws at us, he wasn't joking. He was saying, are you going to choose to be filled? Where do we get filled? By going back to his word. It's not based on man's thought of what is kosher or politically correct. I don't think that this church has a problem with always being politically correct. I've talked to Danny way too many times to know that he's preached things, good things that are biblical that the world would say, that's not correct. You can't say that. Well, here's the deal. If we start opening up our conversations with Jesus, there are going to be some who accept, like at the very bottom it says, who's done this? But there's always going to be those ones who are perplexed and say they're crazy. They were just saying they're flat out drunk. When you get to the next set of verses, and Peter begins his sermon, he says, hey, we're not drunk, it's only 9 a.m. Some of y'all are thinking, no, I know some people that at 9 a.m., that's already there. But the reality is that unless we fill ourselves with God's word, we are not learning who the Spirit is. We're not learning who Jesus is. We're not learning how God works. And if we want to tap into the power, you have to tap into his love letter to you. It's all about Jesus from Genesis 1 to Revelation, but it talks about a God who loves us so much that in the middle of all the junk that we have to live in, all the things that are not self-inflicted, and heaven help us, all the things that are self-inflicted. And when I think about my life, there's a whole lot more self-infliction than there is not self-inflicted. But with all that stuff that he saw us in our desperate need, and he said, I'm not going to sit here and let them just go. I made a way. His name is Jesus. He's my son, and I will give up my beloved to have them be loved. That's who God is. And when Jesus came, he said, I will follow the master's plans. I will be part of this. He was filled with the Spirit. Jesus walked in the Spirit, and you say, well, of course, because he was God himself. He had opportunity not to. He was tempted. He was given opportunities to walk away from the plan. He even prayed that there could be another plan, as we've referenced before. But the reality is that Jesus looked at God and said, I want to be used by you, and to be used by you, I have to be filled by your Spirit, which is complete submission to you. People would think that he and John the Baptist were crazy. They probably thought it was a family problem. Well, yeah, they're cousins. Y'all know those groups. Y'all know those families. You walk around here and you're like, oh, you know what family they're from. That's what, yeah, some of y'all just chuckling. Some of y'all are looking down. You might be that family. I don't know. But the reality is that that's what people marked Jesus, his disciples, John the Baptist, these people. They're crazy. But if we're going to plug into the power, we have to dive into his word. The other thing is that we have to be connected to the source. Brother or sister sitting in this room, if you don't have a prayer time,
And I'm not talking about where you just decide, I'm going to give God everything I have and just say, hey, I want you to fix my problems. But you're diving deep and saying, God, what is in me that you want to just cut out? What am I doing that you just want to change? God, I want to give you all the glory, and I want to be who you want me to be. And I'll say it again. Dads, where are you leading your family? Moms, where are you leading your family? Bosses, where are you leading your coworkers? Well, that's not a place for the gospel. Yeah, it is. The gospel has no boundaries. The gospel is for dying people. And last time I checked, there ain't a person in this room that's going to survive unless Jesus comes back. If you haven't heard, the death rate in America is every 1 to 1. It's 100%. We are human. And it says that God has allotted each man his days, and on that time there shall be judgment. And if my workplace hinders me from telling somebody that they're going to stand before the great judge that's righteous, that will judge based on his law in his terms, then my workplace is an idol to me. Because I have to share Jesus with a dying and lost world. Well, I may get fired. I always hear that. I may get fired. I have yet to hear somebody that changed a coworker from the gospel. They said, here's the gospel, here it is. And that person began to make strides in Christianity, and it changed their life for good, and that boss was upset. Hey, you know, I think he used to walk out with loads and loads of copper that he said were scrap, that were not. He used to walk out with extra reams of paper to take home with him. He used to sit there and do this. She used to do this. But man, I don't know what you did to him, but they're not doing it. I'm not even worried about it. I gave him a key the other day because he had to come up here. I would have never done that 2 years ago. It's kind of like people that put down alcohol. They never say, man, I'm so glad I started drinking. They're always like, I'm so glad God got a hold of me and I don't have to have that anymore. That's what people need. And so when you say, well, I may get fired, I may get in trouble, you know what? When God changes a heart, it's going to speak to the people who aren't believers. And the people who need him most is every single one of us, not the worst person in town, not the best person in town. It's a dying person, which is anyone who does not know him. So we've got to be done. You know, I love this stuff. It's what I love right here. But you've got to be tapped in the power to even get started. And friend, if you're sitting in this room and you say, I've never felt the power of God in my life, and you say, I don't even know how to feel the power of God in my life. Here's where you're at right now. If you can hear that voice in your head saying, that's me, I've never felt that, guess who that is? If in your mind right now you're fighting the urge to admit that it's you, and you can hear that voice saying, you need to tap into this power, you need to know who I am, that's the Holy Spirit knocking on your door. That's Jesus saying, hey, wake up, wake up, wake up. But it says that he's not going to do it harshly. You know, if it was up to me, I would go drag every single person, whether I skin them up on the way or I had to drag them behind a car, I don't care. If it was just up to me to get them into these doors and they'd be saved, I'd be hauling them in here hurt, injured, beaten, knocked out, I don't care. But that's not how Jesus does it. We sing a song. He's waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? And if you hear that voice in your head right now, that's Jesus saying, wake up. I don't want you to die and live without me forever. I want you to be a part of my family. I want to give you power to overcome these things that you are looking at. It's not going to be easy, but I can tell you this. When you look at me, that burden seems light. And you will be able to walk with me. Husband, say, I don't know how to lead my family in this. That's Jesus calling you. Wife, I just don't love like I'm supposed to. Well, you can't love deeply and purely unless you know who is love. And Corinthians tells us that God is love.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week.